T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dave Schrader, who's become a friend of the show, paranormal investigator. We met him through the different documentaries he's done, this docuseries. He does it on Discovery Plus and Discovery. This one is called The Curse of Lizzie Borden. Now, of course, you've all heard about Lizzie Borden. There's a poem that goes with it, and we grew up hearing about it.
Our next guest is a paranormal investigator, podcaster, author, and radio host who worked as a location scout and researcher for the show Ghost Adventures before branching out on his own, now hosting the Travel Channel series based on the cases of ghost hunter Hans Holzer, The Holzer Files, as well as hosting the podcast, Darkness Radio, and his latest special, The Curse of Lizzie Borden, is available to watch on Discovery Plus. Please welcome, friend of the show, Dave Schrader.
I still remember being a kid. Lizzie Borden took her axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. A simple whack or two with the axe wouldn't do. She kept on whacking till she was through, reducing the family to only two. Well, some lovely little rhyming phrasing, isn't it? How are you doing today, Dave?
Yeah, I'm doing good, and it's really weird, really. You know, when you hear about people whacking, usually it's not to reduce a family.
Yeah, exactly.
That amount, right? No, right. Actually, 40 and 41 is an over-exaggeration. If I remember correctly, it was like 13 times to the stepmother and like 9 times to the father or something. It was still brutally violent, but not quite as many times. But can you imagine this? You're living in that time. This isn't something that happened like, you know, kids started creating the song in 1960 or 1970. When Lizzie Borden moved across town to the place she called Maplecroft, kids would be playing hopscotch outside her house singing that song. So she was alive listening to people taunt her with that music at that time.
Yeah. Well, we lived in a time when we weren't inundated with all of this information and is access to terrible. So remember, we didn't have it on, it wasn't on television, there was no internet, you would hear the story. So I think it makes it a lot easier to become desensitized when it's just a folklore, a scary story, like all the other scary stories. And of course, Lizzie Borden couldn't be real to the children because she's just a poem lady and a scary story by a campfire. But she was very real. But in the same way we used to watch hangings or guillotines, hundreds and thousands of people would show up for a public execution, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've got this macabre interest in seeing the kind of taboo effect. But people have also changed in our history through time, right? Europeans take death a lot differently and handle it differently than we do here in America. So, you know, but back in the day, yeah, you'd make a day of it. You'd go to the public hangings and there'd be big parties. And it's a very different atmosphere than what we have today.
Well, is it? Because I do believe that we aren't that far away from bringing it back here in the sense that we convince ourselves that the person we're looking at is a total monster. And maybe they were, but they're a monster. They're inhuman. They're not real. What they've done is so unforgivable that this is the only right way to do it. And now we don't have to feel any guilt for watching their head get chopped off.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure in the case of Gabby Petito, everybody's waiting for this guy to get caught,
yeah.
And I think they'd love a public flogging or anything to happen.
Pay-per-view.
Sure.
And again,
turns out probably going to be absolutely righteous if that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not to mention, I got to tell you, and I'm not sure I feel good about this, but I am rooting for Dog the Bounty Hunter to find him.
Who isn't?
Right?
Right? post-COVID kind of civilization here, when one man rises from the ashes like Mel Gibson in Mad Max, we want that to be Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Right? I swear to God, man. I'm like, man, I really hope he finds him. Like, there's some kind of weird redemption in his life.
I love all the memes that are out that that are saying on the internet, if Dog the Bounty Hunter finds this guy, I'm going to stop paying my taxes. Because obviously, our federal government can't locate him, but Dog can.
Either that or that son of a bitch will be running for president and get it next time.
That might be the only one that will be able to beat Trump next time, right?
Yeah, swear to God, man. So when we get into this Lizzie Borden thing, this is such a legend, and I can't think of another. Because it is a horrific crime done by a child at the time, or at least a young lady. And if I, you know, let's say I'm pretty cynical. Let's say dad used to diddle her. Mom knew she'd had enough, and she clipped them both. Or she's, because clearly she's not so mentally deranged. She couldn't figure out a way to try to hide it. And the forensics of the time weren't very good, right?
Well, the forensics at the time were horrible.
Right.
And so many people had come and gone through that murder scene. You know, on this August day, over 10, 15 years ago, Abigail Borden, or Abby Borden, the stepmother to Lizzie and her sister Emma, was bludgeoned and brutally, you know, hatcheted to death in what's known as the John Morse room. That was where her uncle, John Morse, had stayed the night before. Now, there were a lot of different possibilities of what had happened, and actually the uncle was looked at one point because he was a butcher. He carried a tool that was very hatchet-like, and he would have the strength and skill, and that's kind of what boggled the people of Fall River, Massachusetts, is that there was no way such a petite young lady like Lizzie Borden could have the anger and veracity to kill and kill again in the same manner shortly later, you know, to her own father, who she adored. According to all records, she and Emma adored their father. They didn't care so much for the stepmom, but, you know, you've got this dark line that goes through their story and talks about the history of was there incestual things going on between the father and daughters? Was the stepmother complicit in this? And I don't know if that's just because people want to find a reason.
Yeah, well, I think we need to, right?
Depend on that. Right.
In
our head. Everybody wants a villain, and everybody wants her to be a good reason for why somebody would do something this violent,
right,
and this horrific. But she came from a long lineage of cruelty. You know, right next door, one of her relatives had actually, I think it was, if I remember correctly off the top of my head, it was like 20 or 30 years prior, had murdered two of her own children by drowning them in a well. And then she tried to take her own life by slitting her throat. So this was directly next door to the Borden house. And all around that area, there is this circle of death. And you know, it doesn't just stop with the Bordens. It's continued on until just even recent years. But there's the King John's War. There was all of these different things that took place. And so much blood that took, you know, that was sucked up by the land, that it just makes you wonder, was there a curse on the area? Was there a curse on the people of Fall River? And did this happen and influence Lizzie Borden? Everybody wants to know, did she do it? And at this point, I don't think any answer would ever suffice whoever's out there, because everybody has a pony in the game. Everybody wants to believe that they know who the killer was. And it may be something much darker than just a single person. It could very well be that there was something more supernatural to it. That,
well,
there was
and I don't know, Dave,
dark that influenced the killer.
And you and I have talked about this. I believe that I don't always buy into the something supernatural makes you a killer. I would sign on that we have an energy inside of us. Some people call it a soul, whatever you want to call it. But I think it continues on as people drop their shells. Now, do they go to heaven or hell? I don't know about that either. But I'm interested to find out at some point in my life, and maybe we just got to die to find out, was if you're killed in a way, a violent way, a terrible way, something terrible affects you as you're shuffling off this meat coat that we wear, you know, do you get stuck here? Is there something that keeps you from moving to the next place? Is that what creates this negative, weird, dark energy? You know, I think I tend to buy that a lot more, and it makes sense in my brain, which, by the way, doesn't mean I'm right, but it makes more sense to me than a demon caused me to do something. I feel like more like, you know, this energy that we have, that we carry with us, it keeps us alive, our mind, our thoughts, our bigger picture, our cognitive ability, that it gets stuck when something terrible happens. That I'm genuinely curious to find out at some point in our lives or the end of our lives how that works.
Well, and, you know, like you said, I think we have to get to that end game before we're going to know it completely. But the common belief is, especially in murders and in tragic deaths, there's a soul fracture, if you will. There's a sliver of that humanity left behind, and that's what we consider to be hauntings. And the majority of what we were, the good in us, has moved on to something else, moved on to somewhere else. And sometimes it's just this last piece, this base animal instinct that's left behind. And that's why, when you think about a lot of hauntings, why would spirits stay in an old prison or in an insane asylum or a hospital? Well, if there's all that's left is the shadow figure of them, of this base animal instinct, it might be pack mentality. It might just be that they're territorial because this is what they remember from the end of their life, and they just may not, you know, have that ability to move on.
Well, that's
it. As time goes, they fade.
Hey, again, this is such a big conversation. It goes and goes. I mean, we'll go down this rabbit hole about past lives, about, you know, reincarnation, what stays, right, what goes, what we remember, what we don't remember. Is it karma? Are we, if we're good, do we get a better life? If we're bad, do we get a worse life next time? You know, who knows? But it all, listen, guys, Discovery Plus, Dave Schrader is, and I will tell you, in my estimation, I think you give the most believable and genuine look into this. It drives me crazy. I'll watch a ghost show, within 5 minutes I'm throwing some of the television because it's so stupid and pandering and obviously ridiculous, you know, when people are walking around pretending that they feel something and they're just making something out of nothing. I'm like, let's take what we know, like the Lizzie Borden situation. We know people died there. We all wonder why it happened. It's violent, it's terrible, it's survived all these years historically. Yeah, I could buy that something could be happening there. What is it? So you're, to me, you're always a cross between a murder mystery and then the paranormal is always there and the questioning, but it's not so one-sided where you just have to either be in or be out.
Well, in The Curse of Lizzie Borden, which is on Discovery Plus now, we do go back to reinvestigate aspects of the story. And I go along with a psychic medium by the name of Chris Fleming, who's been a close friend of mine for years. A woman by the name of Luann Jolly, who has visited there and has captured some really compelling EVP, that's electronic voice phenomena. And then Sam Beltrusis joins us, and Sam is an actual descendant from the Borden family bloodline. So it was an interesting aspect to have him there as a part of the show. And, you know, it's an interesting element to add into the show because we've got somebody who is part of that family, understands the tragedy, understands what happens, but then you can also look at the fact that our family bloodline's cursed. And it sounds, on the whole, for skeptics, it sounds ridiculous, right? But you look at the fact that Sam will tell you in his life the tragedy that is part of his life. He's part of the Borden family. So Lizzie Borden and the cousin that lived next door, he's part of that. Eileen Wuornos, the serial killer from the movie Monster.
Right.
He's related to her. He's also related to the tragic Marilyn Monroe. So you start to look through a bloodline and you think, my God, maybe there is something to this. Maybe there is something to having a curse upon you and your family and the way that it impacts and affects certain members of that family.
And last question, because I can't tell this. There's two Borden houses. There's one that is a big Cracker Box square one and one that is a more Victorian. What is the difference there?
The Lizzie Borden Bed and Breakfast. It's this beautiful little greenhouse in Fall River, Massachusetts. That is the house where the two murders took place, where Lizzie Borden spent a good part of her life. And after she was acquitted of the crimes, after everything happened, she, and this is one of the things that makes me question, did she do it? Because she had all the money she needed to move anywhere in the world that she wanted to go after the murder of her parents. And she still elected to stay in that town. And she moved across town, bought this beautiful manor, this place she calls Maplecroft, and it still stands today. Yeah. And she lived out her days there and passed away in that house. Mm. And she became, you know, very very big with certain sects. She hung out with a lot of actors and actresses and kind of the hoi polloi of the time. So people must have gotten to the fact where they believed her innocence,
right,
and believed who she was. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, it's easy to pin something on her because of the way she acted the day of and immediately after.
Well, she tried to burn the dress. I mean, let's face it. I mean, that's how I'm like, she did it. Like, the dress, she caught her. And then she said, because there was paint on it, she cut it into strips and set it on fire.
Right.
Come on.
But in mourning and the way that people act, it's, you know, sometimes you think you understand how somebody would do something. And
Damn you and your logic, Dave. God damn it. Now that screwed me up.
Here's a funny part about it, right? I mean, I watched some true crime special a couple of years ago. It blew me away. The way they played this out was great. This woman had been murdered. She was left in a bathtub in her ex-boyfriend's house.
Right.
The ex-boyfriend and family come home. They find the body, and of course the police talk to him. They're like, listen, we got the guy, and he's totally cold about it. He's like, well, you know, we were broken up anyway, and I'm, you know, that's why I'm not real, you know, shattered by this. And they're like, but she's dead in your bathtub. He's like, yeah, that kind of sucks. And they're like, oh yeah, we got this guy. They get him to submit to a lie detector test. He's completely clean, and his alibi works out. They go through three other possible perpetrators, and each one looks more guilty than the one before, and each one submits to or fights kind of taking a lie detector test, fights being involved in this, and each one ends up getting cleared. And then the one guy that they go to, who's kind of this rando, he gives into the lie detector test and turns his phone over and denies anything happened, and they're on the phone or all the photographs of him murdering the woman and the body. So it was the least likely person,
right,
and the one that acted the most normal, while everyone else that didn't do it acted completely mental. So you think you know,
right,
what a killer,
right,
would be like.
Right, right. No, no.
Completely wrong.
To what I said earlier, damn you and your good points and logic. You, you. Well, here's what I took out of this last bit of conversation too was, man, what kind of a terrible person was she that the dude who used to date her was like, yeah, I know, it does suck. She's in my bathtub. I hated that bitch. You know what I mean? Like, normally when something so terrible happens, even if you had the worst relationship ever, you somehow that all goes away and you just feel bad for the person that you knew.
Right.
But
yeah,
I mean,
he just was totally, he even told me, he goes, listen, I'm not going to react the way you want me to. I'm just not an emotional person.
Yeah.
And that's why they thought they had this guy. They thought this guy's just a sociopath, a narcissistic killer. And no, he was just a guy who just had no feelings.
He was over it.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, for lack of a better term, he was really over it. Yeah. He's like, and by the way, who's going to get this out of my tub?
Yeah, that's the antithesis of he might not be that into you, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly right, man.
Horrific.
I love Dave. Oh. All right, listen, Dave, everybody check him out. Discovery Plus and Discovery, you can find the Darkness Radio podcast also with Dave Schrader, S-C-H-R-A-D-E-R, paranormal investigator, The Curse of Lizzie Borden, we've been talking about today because it's that season. Anytime, man. Just let me know what else you got going on, and then, you know, we'll always have you come by the show.
Hey, I'd love to. Thanks a lot for having me on. Stay safe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.